was going to grab my cell phone to check the time, but not my texts, but I'll sense the time.
Are you comfortable like this, maybe?
Yes, can everyone hear? Number 5. Mama, where does the ocean come from? I teach you, he taught me, not oceans, but lifetimes. We met at a conference. I flew home the next day. He gave me a lift in his rusting truck. In the holders for coffee were cores of apples, 2 of them, a pair of hunger perched and sitting side by side. I strapped my belt. He looked in the rear view, a man at the wheel, till he fumbled his keys. Are you sure you have my number? He asked. Mama, where does the ocean come from? We live in Berkeley. A little house, a little life. It wasn't mine. My life was yours, but you escaped, so I wrote books. You love the marina, just like your dad. He used to run each afternoon. Now he owns dogs. I'll swim to China, you would have said. You point to the sea and kick your legs, whatever you want, he would have replied. And he would have meant it. He's fierce that way. He's loyal. I killed him. Tracy Chapman sits on a stool and sings a song. Her voice is mournful, or maybe it's me. The car is fast. He drove a truck. I climbed aboard and spotted the apples. I felt the temptation to sneak the fruit, to place its curve against my lips. There was a moment. Maybe we could have. He held my hand but didn't speak. I turned toward him. He was watching the screen. She sat on a stool. No one was crying, not even the babies. The carpet was green. The children were reading with mothers and aunts, all except one boy who stared at us, a heavy gaze. Each time I glanced in his direction, that boy was still staring. The ceiling was low. The boy was alone. We were given a number, like at a deli. But how is the ocean made? I always forget the tenacity of children, single-minded, one thick root that's hard to hack, the snags of detail not yet formed. They scraped you out. They came and went, one man, 2 women, chatting. While I lay on the table, they say it's suction, but I felt scrape, tenacious child. Then the sound. I understand, I heard myself think. It's the sound that's suction, a motor, a vacuum. It's almost as if I'm cleaning the kitchen. You make such a mess, I chuckle softly. I shake my head. I vacuum the crumbs as I talk to myself because you're not here. You're at the marina with your dad. Good thing, I think. Now I can tidy up in peace. But Mama, I'm sorry, sweetie. I know the answer. I shouldn't have waited. We met at a conference. He's such a great teacher. It's caused by collision. The comets and asteroids smashed into Earth. They were rich with water, or maybe it's caused by volcanoes. Number 19. Tectonic plates glide over skeletal remains. Our foundation of crust lies on pulverized bone. It's white, like the talcum used for babies. Please don't cry. There are trillions of dead. They're microbial things. It's scientific. I've got proof. But you're the one with the PhD. I only write stories. They'd fit in the unhinged jaw of an eel. We don't discuss it. There's nothing to say. I want to believe we can carry forward as we've been, but tectonic plates grind beneath our feet, like the groan when Gaia gave birth to the skull, then Pangaea was cleft. It ached like the bone of my calcium pelvis, pry apart what once cohered there was in us, which drifted. After the abortion, you suggest a submersible. Send probes down, wear protective gear. The therapist takes the check at the end. She tells us her couch is an island of safety. I don't like her metaphors or her lipstick. Her couch is a rowboat that's tossed in the ocean. The water heaves. I quell the squall. I focus on small. There are worms in the ocean. Identify, classify, thousands of species. They're sleek or segmented with frills near their mouths. They grow bulbous or smooth. They can stretch 30 meters. The therapist pinches. I answer succinctly, but it won't stop. She pulls the worm and it keeps coming, body throbbing from my throat. She's unperturbed. I wonder whether she knows what she's doing. She knows too well. Proboscis extends, but after the second session, I quit. I can't do it, I say. I don't have the language. That's bullshit, I realize. What I lacked was depth. Language is easy. It's human that's hard. The ocean's currents gyre and vortex around the globe. One current took us north to Alaska, but then the ocean overturned, a vertical plunge as the dense water heavies. This happens when ice begins to form. We could have expected, but I wasn't ready. We drifted on skeletons, blue lips stiff and muscle bone. Why think of this? Why talk and tentacle? Words and process can't stop precipitous. I only wanted to fun and fuck. I was young and in love, but the shame is unspeakable. You only wanted to drive to Alaska to use the oil, pump the fossil, buy electrical goods from abroad. I don't want a safe island for processing feelings, not when the tankers lurk toward shore. Who am I to determine what lives in the ocean? Regardless of me, when this process ends, regardless of us, the fish will slipper through sapphire water. Leave them be. Please leave me alone. Please give me time. I'll find the depth. I'll sink to the place where language forms. So I wasn't planning on writing a book about abortion. I had an abortion 20 years ago. And I wrote the book because the man with whom I had the abortion got back in touch with me 17 years later, at which point I found out that he'd never had kids. So while I'd gone on to marry the next man I dated and get married, have two kids, and get divorced, he'd gone on to marry the next woman he dated, have two miscarriages, one in the second trimester, of twins, and get divorced. So you can imagine that this news elicited a wellspring of guilt and grief and shame, and it was complicated by the fact that there was still a lot of emotion between us, and I didn't really have a way to come to terms for, so term being terminology end, but also terminology language, to have a way of speaking about the abortion. And so I wrote this book as a way to try to provide a space for women who are pro-choice to articulate the profound grief and almost, it's a loss that's beyond an ethical one. It's quite, it's at the crossroads of life and end. And it's very difficult to say that because we fear we're giving ammunition to the other side. So that's what this book is attempting to do, is to cut through the rhetoric and to give voice to the intensity and complexity of emotion that women and also men feel upon having an abortion. I'm going to read three more pieces. The first and last are quite brief, and the middle one is longer. Just a couple of quick things. One mentions my Bible. My Bible is a dictionary. I can get all religious. So my Bible is the dictionary. And the other one thing is it mentions the amnion, which this is an etymology that, there's a lot of etymology in this book. And one of the things I discovered in doing the research is that amniotic fluid, comes from a Greek word, which is the shallow bowl that was used to catch the blood of the sacrificial animal. And I found that fascinating. I'm gonna have a sip of water. Normally I have scotch. The lights are much brighter than what I do readings normally. All right, that's actually filled with scotch. I need another sip. Number 8. We were young and in love, a cliche that's true. Like liquid sunshine through my veins, young love can't mean anything while you're in it. Then you've left it, exiled into middle age. From here I can know, but I'll never sense, not anymore. I'm banned and barred from ever re-entering youth. Innocence, ignorance. Time, I now know. Time is an erosion. In the interim, you had three fetuses. None was born. Each was fed by hope so rich with blood, but in the end, the marriage couldn't survive the death. In the interim, I had two children, got married, divorced, wrote 5 books. I spent exceeding years alone. Life dredged me dry, but I kept flooding, penned like depths, abyss of the ocean. Inside my bed, I found a carcass, gnawed its bones. When dreams got bad, my son would amble. Climb on in. I'd lift the blanket. Give him room. We drifted, anchored, safe with each other. The smallest bodies balance the oceans. Plankton, algae, tiny toddler baby boy who needs his mom in times of heave. But that was many years ago. Now he's adolescent. His dreams are wet. The voice from his mouth is an animal thing. It's a wolf. He is sheepish. He's not yet familiar. When you were his age, your father died. But that's a lurch of time and tides, and this is supposed to be stratifying. After the interim, you arrived at my door. You invited me in, then you slowly disrobed me. I sipped my wine, I held your gaze defiant to protect my shame. It's 17 years. It's the gap, the grief. You reach across, you're reaching to touch me, return me to an older sensation. Time exists here, all at once, but only as our aging bodies now. I briefly know. Number 28. Soon we'll all be hoarding the ocean. We'll store it in cars so that we can wash them. I eat an orange that's grown in the desert. It's sun-kissed, strapless, spread your legs, but only in inquiry. Little waves come rippling. I'm back on the boat after many years. We're together, apart, but the movement is circular. Currents are driven by gravity, density, contour of landmass, and breast are important. We're sailing through San Diego's Bay, and we've been here before, but the playlist is new. J-Boot fats the bass, it's down on the beat and fleshy, wet. The rhythms drop, but waves are peaking. I can feel the mainsail luffing. Pull the line a little tighter, touch my dress. I'm trying to understand the currents. I eat my orange, it's blood red. The drought gets drier, I swallow the juice. I'm wondering whether we'll have a future. My son is walking toward the prow. He stands like a man. He's guzzling liquid. It flows down the throat or the hose or the pipe, but the slick of oil has settled at bottom. I lotion my skin. There are millions of gallons inside the gulf. Despite our efforts, the carpet of crude will remain on the seafloor, a clue to the future. It lies beside the asteroid's crater, the watery gravesite for dinosaurs. I find that quite pleasing, symmetrical almost, symbolic or narrative, like there's a god. Do you think the next hominids, if they'll be hominids, do you think they'll figure it out? I mean, who could invent a story like this? But it's fun to imagine them scratching their heads. They'll examine the artifacts, tracing the past from what remains. The carapace creatures of plastic and metal with wires for veins and an eye made of glass. They'll surmise it was all a religious ritual. Maybe they're right. My daughter sings like a lotus flower. Sleep like dreams, narcotic delusion. I can't get the mojo to fear the apocalypse, not when I hear her. But why did Odysseus travel home? I murdered a fetus. I fed my children. To feed my children, farmers sprayed. Soft rain came down in the moonlight of chemicals. Maybe a mother was killed by a drone like a bee or collateral. Naval destroyer protect my nephew from the war. My daughter was chained to the factory floor for the tiniest tank top she wears on a boat. But the cost will be borne by developing countries, storms and flood or drought and famine, rafts of people pitching themselves inside the oceans. It's 3 degrees, it's 17 years, it's 1,000 lifetimes. Only one. I citrus the orange. It sounds so small as a thumbnail. I'd like 3 degrees in the middle of winter. The human mind is bleached like coral, brainwash, Clorox, bright so bright against tan skin, but 3 degrees is a seismic wave, the kind that glides so smooth in the ocean. It's imperceptible out at sea. It could be here now, we'd never know, except we do. It's caused by trauma, an earthquake or death of a father or child, a landslide or undersea movement of conscience. It's one or the other, or maybe it's every. The tipping has come, I can feel its peak, I swear I can sense it. We're never so close as I am at this moment. When I was a child, I'd stand on the shoreline and stare at the waves. Surrounded by that rage, this ferocity, I'd beg the ocean to knock me down. Please hit me full and hard on the chest. I desire to be, if I'm pulverized inside that force. You're the only man who understood. You saw me there, alone on the beach. You were curled in the lungs of a humpback whale. You wanted to ocean with all your power. Instead, you made love. You were always a punk. Now you listen to jazz. I will suck on your necklace, tenderly. The music stops. It seems very sudden. My daughter keeps singing, such purling voice. She'll lure the soldiers to their slumber, cradle them sweetly, they'll feel no pain. But the jet plane's engine toward the suction lurch in the wake of this massive ship, from peak to peak, from crest to nipple, thoughts are rising. Now they fall. bleed, the ethical, blood, the orange, no need to struggle, not anymore, the decisions are already made. We humans are no longer class mammalia. Our species is now geological force. We're unable to octopus what we've released. It's a progress that's natural. Don't blame the species. We have big brains, but beastly libidos. We're only an animal. Pity us. We've lost our God. The currents of magma determine the Earth's magnetic field. They cause the compass to pull directional, race toward the pole and guide me home. My moral compass, iron blood, the pore of amnion. Who will cleanse us? How do we know what's right and good when we don't have a God or a book to declare it? Absolve our sins, absorb our carbon, ride me steady through this ocean. I only feel clean when you fuck me. I forgot that last line. I'll also say the ocean metaphor came in because a friend of mine sent me an email and said she's a collage artist, and she sent me an email with some of her collages and said, would you like to write some text to this? And what she'd done is she'd taken vintage fashion magazines, so from the 50s and early 60s, so these sort of blithe, insouciant women, and she'd collaged on this gorgeous, grotesque, alien ocean imagery. So there would be, my favorite was this woman kneeling in a bikini, but the bikini top was made of like magnified squid tentacles that were like crimson, you know, and it was this really fascinating juxtaposition. So I said to her, sure, I'll try it. I don't know what I'll come up with. I didn't know if I could do it. I'd never written to image before. So I sort of had this idea of writing of this blithe, insouciant woman who nonetheless knew everything about the death of our oceans. So I sort of started writing in this voice, and very rapidly, I'd say within a week, I wrote this sentence, blithe was a fish in my body. And that's actually the first sentence of the book. Blithe was a fish in my body. And I suddenly realized that I was writing about the abortion, and that the I was me, not this insouciant woman. I contacted the collage artist and said, the writing is going in a different direction. And she said, go. But she said, when you're done, can I see the text? And she then created collages to my words, which are included, nine of which are included in the book. So the ocean imagery functions to create this sort of surrealistic, you know, I'm sort of moving from the personal to the global, but it also serves the themes of origin of life. Ocean is origin, womb is origin, but also of loss, and of consequence that can be felt perhaps long after the action was taken. So this last piece is quite brief. Thank you, Deanna, for inviting me, and Glenn, thanks everyone for coming out. Number 31. Life doesn't disappear, although that's what abortion means. My Bible tells me, ab plus oriri, away from appearing, becomes abortare through frequent, repeated intensification. She'll never appear through continual effort not to see. I'd like to abort that conclusion. Elision, abortion, what's cut is the tissue, material, body, potential for life, but the potency, energy, gets released. It's hubris to think we could nullify that. It's like saying that humans could kill the earth. Abortion exists in a realm I call spirit. I can't hold this concept inside my brain. In my womb, then I could, like the hint of a secret whose words I can't know, only whispers and tingling, like breath on the nape, like the promise of more. I believe this sensation. Refracted through the lens of sin, we quickly reach abyssal blue. But light in the deep is a radiant body whose warmth fills my veins and my mouth with its song luminesce. In this lightness, I don't seek forgiveness. I seek instead to bear the burden of my awareness. Bear it with me, I'll say to you. Intensely, repeatedly, bear it with me.